This is the Diehards. The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
It's hour number two of the Diehards. We'd like to thank all of our affiliates.
Thank everybody.
And all of our friends on our affiliates and all of our listeners and all of our affiliates for tuning in. We apologize for the stream being down. So thank you so much for listening on your ham radio, on your transistor radio, on your Walkman.
Why were they called ham radio?
I don't
jerky
know.
Radios?
I have no idea.
Why did they call them ham radios?
So Charlotte, North Carolina, Linehan.
I got a friend that lives down there. Good friend.
Carolina Panthers owner David Tepper believes there should be enough coronavirus tests by the fall.
Yeah. What happens if people flunk these tests?
So that the NFL teams can play games in stadiums with some fans.
All right, here's my question.
Hey, David Tepper, you're on crack.
Listen, you tested all the players coming in the stadium.
All right.
Say last year, 2 years ago, Patriots, right?
Yeah.
They're all coming in. 98.6, you're in. 98.6, you're in. Tom Brady's 101. What do you do? Here's a cold towel, Tom. Let's try it again.
Let's do it again because you know what? That TB12 was awesome.
Exactly. There you go.
Now he stinks.
Yeah. Don't let Dr. Fauci start it on that.
You won't be playing half full, having full stadiums, but that doesn't mean you can't have some fans in the stadium either, Tepper told CNBC on Wednesday. If you're comfortable being in a closed airplane for a cross-country trip, 18 inches apart, maybe with two seats in between you and being 5 feet away from each other, you might be comfortable in an open-air stadium. We know the Panthers play in one of the 20 NFL open-air stadiums. Five more have retractable roofs. I just don't see it. Like, it blows my mind. I know he wants to play. I know he needs to play. I know he makes money to play. I just don't see it.
I think the problem is going to be state to state, governor to governor. It's not a federal thing. It's a governor. Massachusetts says, no, you can't play in Foxborough. Arizona says, come here and play in Arizona. Do you forfeit your home games? How do you do it?
It's not going to happen. The man, the myth, the legend joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. The one and only Upton Bell joins the Diehards next. He's Linehan. I'm Pepe. It is SB Nation Radio.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Oh, I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. I wish we had us rolling during the break. Because it is pure entertainment with Mr. Mark Linehan here in my
Rated
man
R.
cave studio here. Our O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East here in Boston. We're going to hop right now to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Joining us, the former NFL executive, talk show host.
Legend.
Commentator, legend, co-author of Present at Creation, available on Amazon. And you know what? You don't have anything to do right now.
No,
go buy a book right now on Amazon. Present at Creation.
Instead of a coloring book like you usually do.
Friend of the show, Upton Bell. Upton, it's Anthony and Mark. How are you, pal?
Guys, great to talk to you. By the way, if you're lazy and you don't want to read, it's also an audio, that book. And they got an actor, not me, to do the audio part of it. But great to be with you guys.
How'd you get cut from that role, Upton? You would have rocked it.
Well, thank God I didn't. But can I say something to you guys before we get into details of what you want to ask?
Absolutely.
I'd like to tell you and your audience, from the 40s to today, I have watched baseball through Connie Mack sitting in the dugout, through Bobby Feller, through the greatest that I've ever seen, Willie Mays, through Campy, through the Boys of Summer. And I will tell you that I think the most disgusting, selfish people I've ever seen are these Major League Baseball players. They're going to hold everybody up just to make sure that they get their money when the country is really suffering like never before. I find it really appalling.
Yeah, that was out Blake Snell today, Lenihan, from the Rays.
Paid, exactly. Well, after your dad was an original commissioner of the NFL, how would he have handled something like that?
Well, it's interesting you ask, because here's a real footnote in history that the New York Times are going to write about. And that is, in 1943, my father, who had sold the Eagles and then became equal partners with Art Rooney and the Steelers, at a league meeting when they decided that they were going to shut the league down because of World War II and because so many of the players had gone to war, that there weren't enough to supply the teams and keep the NFL going. And my father got up at the meeting,
wow,
and he told the owners, if you shut down, you will never open again.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, not only that, he said, I see another league who will take your place. By a very narrow vote, they followed Bert Bell's rules. And 3 years later, he became commissioner of pro football. And at the same time, the old All-America Conference of Paul Brown, Otto Graham, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Colts came as the league that he warned them all about. He had great presence and understood, but now we face it. How many years later? I believe this. I don't think any of these leagues are going to open, and I think if they do, as much as I love sports, I think it's a big mistake.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting time. How proud would your dad be of how the NFL is now the America's most popular sport?
I think he would be, because I think he really saw the great thing about him and what made him, in my opinion, the greatest commissioner of all time. And I would pick Pete Rozelle was the second greatest one, is that he saw in the future and saw that television was going to be perfectly fitted to the NFL. In fact, the first TV game ever done was Bert Bell's Eagles against, a lot of people don't know this, the Brooklyn Dodgers had a football team. And that first telecast, when he saw that, he then later on as commissioner was the first to negotiate national TV contracts. He said, that is the future. Would he like it today? I think he would like the game very much. I think he would be somewhat dismayed that it has become such big business. And I'm not talking about the television or the money the players make. It is the whole idea that owners no longer are sportsmen and they can be financiers and stuff like that. They really are more interested in building huge cities with restaurants and hotels and all that other stuff. And the sideshow is the football game.
Now, if your dad was a commissioner during the, say, things like with Tom Brady with Deflategate, how do you think he would have handled that?
Well, let me first of all tell you this, and I don't think I've ever told anybody this. I know directly that Brady deflated the footballs.
How do you know this, Upton? How do you know this?
I will not reveal the name, but I will tell you that he did. Was it a big sin?
Okay.
No. But how do I know also before that what quarterbacks did and what Montana said was true? When I was in Baltimore with the Colts and John Unitas was in his heyday, he used to come in the locker room every week and tell, now, there were no rules then. He would tell the equipment manager, the balls are too big. I can't throw them that way. I want them deflated. It's always been that way. But what happened was Brady, instead of taking the $25,000 fine and saying, okay, you know, I made a mistake, he didn't want his image to suffer from the idea that he might have deflated the football. I know somebody directly that dealt with one of the people that he told to do it. And I can tell you, it was done, and it's a shame that it became a multi-million dollar whole year, four-game suspension over people lying.
Quote, buy, save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote explorer only at progressive.com. Joining us on the Progressive guest line, it is Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan. We are the diehards here on SB Nation Radio. Former NFL executive, talk show host, commentator.
Legend.
Co-author of Present at Creation. Again, available at Amazon. You can buy the book. You can buy the audio. And as Mark said, the legend, Mr. Upton Bell. Hey, Upton, I'm going to say a name, and then I just want you to just tell me your thoughts on this person's name. You ready?
Yep.
Jerry Jones, go.
Oh, please. Oh, please. You know what? That yacht of his that they showed during the draft is bigger than the Titanic. It just never hit me rocks. Great showman.
Not yet.
Brilliant guy. His team never wins since the 90s. He's in the Hall of Fame, all of those things. He's one of the great things that's happened to pro football and one of the worst things.
And that why the worst?
Because it's all about money and acquisitions and huge places and gaudy boats and things like that. To me, that promotes the excess, and yet the game itself, whether it's Goodell or the NFL, they want to sell you on the whole idea this is football more than apple pie. It ain't. It's big business. I have nothing against him doing what he's doing, but picture this. You're sitting home. Everybody is being asked to quarantine. America's suffering. And here you see Jerry Jones not distancing, no mask, with those queens around him handing him stuff, and he's on a boat with like 30 people and completely the antithesis of what we're almost supposed to be doing. What do you think when you see something like that?
Throw him overboard. I'm with you. Hey, Upton, you were around back in the Billy Sullivan Patriots days. You must have some stories there. Give me one about how them trying to maybe cut costs, save money, an entertaining Billy Sullivan story.
How many hours do you have?
There you go. I knew I'd throw that up for you.
Give us something. Come on, Upton.
Much of that, I have to be frank about it, much of that that happened, the stories about it, happened before I came. But I think one of the funnier stories is the day that I was introduced at the press conference, and it was at the Sonesta Hotel, as I was about to step to the mic, a couple of newspaper people yelled out, "Don't touch the mic."
Cleve Rush,
and,
right?
And looking. Yeah, well, I didn't know the story about Rush. You know, 3 years beforehand, when he was introduced, he was almost electrocuted and would have died. And, of course, I didn't know what they were talking about. But the first question from Jack Clary, who covered the Giants and the Patriots for the old Boston Herald, he said, "Mr. Bell," he said, "how could a person who spent 10 years at the greatest franchise in pro football at the time with great drafts, great organization, Hall of Fame coaches and everything else, why would he want to come to the worst team in the NFL? What the hell am I going to say? Welcome home?" it was really something. But the same day when I got off the plane to go to the press conference, I picked up the Boston Globe and read something that caused me to change the name of the Patriots. It said, you know, basically, the BS Patriots, Sullivan had changed the name 50 times when they moved to Foxborough, or were going to. So it was, he named them the Bay State Patriots, but the Globe were having a great time with the BS, and you know what BS stands for. And so I saw it, and I said, oh, my God, this is incredible. So the next day, I call Sullivan and some of the other owners the following week and propose, we're moving to the middle of Foxborough. People are going to be making fun of us all the time, the BS Patriots. Let's rename them the New England Patriots. And I got one of the few things I was able to do with those owners is get them to change it to what we know today, which is the New England Patriots.
Just think how much money you could have made selling BS T-shirts.
They're still around.
hey, Upton, great stuff as always. Obviously, it's a crazy time in everybody's world, and no one's ever seen anything like this in our lives. So do me a favor. Please be safe. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. And we will talk to you later on down the line. Okay, buddy?
Absolutely. Great being on with you guys, and good luck. Thank you.
Thank you so much. There he is, the legend, the great Upton Bell, joining the diehards here on SB Nation Radio.
The diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
I love this tune.
What channel is the Brooklyn Dodgers game on? I've been fiddling around for an hour.
How you doing, Dr. Fauci?
I'm doing too many phone calls. Wear your mask. So people talk to me all the time.
Dr. Fauci, let me tell you about O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, back in my day, we didn't need auto parts. We had a horse.
But now O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. You know that?
I do know that.
So when your car
isn't stopping, you'll end up in a coffin.
The professional parts people at O'Reilly Parts will help you find the parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. Now, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of brake best pads and two brake best rotors.
Throw in a mask.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. You can also order online, I'm sure, if you can't get to an O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, Dr. Fauci, let me ask you a couple questions.
What do you got?
A couple questions about this whole sports starting up.
It's not going to start up till you wear a mask.
Let me ask you this. So, a college, we're just going to call it ex-college.
Call it Holy Cross, where I went to school. I used to play basketball in Brooklyn. I wasn't good enough to play at Holy Cross, but now I wear a mask.
So, you went to Holy Cross, you were a Crusader.
I was.
All right. So, you were in, that's Western Massachusetts.
Well, it's kind of central.
It's kind of,
you were from here.
Yeah, but it's out that way. Way out from where we are.
Anything outside of 128 might as well be Mississippi.
So... ex-college, Holy Cross. We'll go Holy Cross.
All right, the Crusaders.
They say...
Andy was a nickel back then, you know. They that had note, some young toots, listen, I used to call a girl toots.
All right, Dr. Fauci, just shut up for just a second.
Don't tell Dr. Fauci to shut up unless you're wearing a mask.
All right, so students are not allowed on campus.
No.
Okay, so there's... Let's just, for argument's sake, I don't even know the enrollment at Holy Cross. We're gonna
In my day, it was seven.
I know, and it's probably like...
They added three more for the hoop team.
Is it like 30,000 kids? It's a smaller school, so let's just say 30,000 kids. 30,000 students are not allowed on the campus because of this coronavirus in the fall. But the hockey team's really good. Do they even have a hockey team?
They do.
Okay. The hockey team, they do. The hockey team's really, really good.
Yep.
And they want to have a season.
Nope.
So they say, you know what? These 20 hockey players, we're going to give an exception to, and they're going to just come on the campus and play hockey. But the 30,000 students can't show up because they're at risk.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me, Mr. Mark Linehan.
It's not going
to
happen. You're right. It's not. I'm with my boy Fouch. That's what I call him now.
Fouch. Okay.
Yeah, Fouch. Sup, Fouch. It's not going to happen. I think it's going to be interesting in schools where sports are a lot more important than we are in the Northeast.
Okay, so let's look at the
Midwest and Nebraska.
We keep Nebraska and these big time schools, but let's stay here.
Yep.
Okay. Let's stay in at Boston College.
Yep.
Okay. I do a lot of work at Boston College. You know, the brilliant genius that I am.
Oh yeah, brilliant genius. Yeah.
I mean, me and Baldwin are tight. Yeah. That's the mascot for you, those of you who don't know. So. They're obviously part of the ACC. There's a lot of revenue generated by the ACC and ACC football and ACC basketball. Hockey team not in there, but they're one of the elite, best in the best. They were ranked fourth, fifth in the country last year. Had a chance to win a national championship. So, you know, let's stay there for a second. The ACC says, hey, you know what? We're playing football.
Yeah.
Pretty big-time schools. Clemson, have you heard of them?
Yeah.
That kid, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, there's going to be teams that are tanking for Trevor.
Let's not get carried away, but yeah.
But they are. But there are.
Nobody's tanking in the NFL.
But there's going to be teams that want this kid.
Yeah.
Stay with me. Let me just exaggerate things, will you? So, the ACC.
Let me ask you a question.
A big time conference.
How about football Louisiana?
Come on, coach. Just
okay,
stay with me.
Sorry, you keep talking. Now go ahead. Now go Tigers.
Boston College says, you know what? No, we're not allowing students on campus. But hey, you know what? The ACC football program generates $50 million freaking dollars. We got to keep that program.
Not happening.
We got to keep it. Hey, you know what? Coach Helfrich's here. It's get in. It's hashtag get in. It's all the excitement. Boston College back on the football map. They're going to be Doug Flutie again.
Yeah. Coach Halfley has picked the wrong time to take the job, I think.
But you know what? We got to keep the football going. So you know what? These 50, 60, 70 kids are going to go on campus.
No, it's more than that, first of all. And secondly, it's not going to happen.
And they're going to play on the practice. You know, these kids are going to go, and they're going to go on campus, but yet the other 40,000 students can't.
Yep. It's not happening.
How's that possible?
It's not possible. That's not going to happen. Either the school's open or the school's not open, unless you come up with a way that says that everybody's going to go to school online, you accept it that way. The problem's going to be in various leagues. Like you said, the ACC is a perfect example. Pac-12 is another example. If Oregon says go, Arizona says go, but UCLA, Stanford, and UCLA
say no
USC
bueno,
can't play, you're going to have to reconfigure leagues. You're going to have to play partial schedules.
You can't do that.
I think you're going to have to. I don't know how. I don't know whether you're going to have to play seven games. I mean, we keep coming back to Nebraska because we got friends there and we've talked to them on the air here, and you know they're like, "What virus?" You know.
Yeah. Well,
as far as getting it going, but
yeah, because again, they're still, you know, Eric Crouch is still a hero there, and they know nothing else.
Yeah. Well, Frosty's the king out there.
We love Frosty. We love the whole crew in Nebraska.
Yep.
But the reality is that's not reality.
It is
in the rest of the country, dude.
Yeah, I know that, but within leagues, that's what's going to be the next decision to come about as far as how can we handle this. I think the teams in the Midwest where the virus isn't that prevalent,
you've been around college sports a long time, and again, we joked around about you being at BU, but you even know how hard it is when a BU hockey schedule in a team bails, and how tough it is to fill that non-conference schedule.
Yep.
Now you're going, all right, we're not playing the full conference. Now you can fill a non-conference. How do you do all that travel? There's too many variables. It's impossible.
I think that's what's going on right now with commissioners and presidents of universities, stuff like that. And let's take it down to the Division III level you played that I coached in. Nobody talks about them. They're screwed. Those
schools, screwed.
Yeah, they're
screwed.
The only
thing that was screwed more is that my number one is not hanging in the rafters at Curry College Division III here in Milton, Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's pretty well talked about around the Curry community.
Correct.
A lot. Yeah.
Correct.
It's the only time you were number one, apparently. Apparently, number two was taken.
I put up a picture of me and a couple of my buddies the other day, and it was
tasteful nudes.
And it was I was wearing the jersey. My buddy goes, "Punter."
There you go. Yeah.
I go, no, I was a free safety.
Well,
I was a madman.
I coached at three different Division III colleges in hockey. I mean, they might have a shot. Number one, it starts with, are there bodies on campus? Okay, that's step number one. Now you can work from there if there are. Number two, now you got to talk about fans and attendance and revenue and the 6 feet apart crap. And you know,
there's bodies on the campus of Boston College. They say yes.
Yep.
For argument's sake, they say, yes, the Battle of Comm Ave is going to BU, but BU doesn't have bodies on campus. How do you play that game?
BU doesn't. I don't think you have sports without students on campus.
Right.
I think you're all done. But I'm saying I think that if you have students going to school, you could play. There's going to be a lot of adjustment of schedules. I don't think there's going to be a lot of travel, obviously. You know what I mean? You're not going to – I mean, football can be saved a little bit because of the big-time schools' charter. They have their own flights, so it's not a matter.
I've been on some of those charters; they're awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, you're not interacting
with other
people.
Feed you very well,
but I just don't. I'm usually a half full guy. I'm not anymore. I just don't see how this is going to work when you can't go to the beach, you know, when you can't get your hair cut, you know, but you can get your shoes repaired.
Well, you know what? You need to make sure that you flip.
I had a new pair of shoes in Brooklyn before I went to Holy Cross once, and the heel fell off. And my friend the cobbler came by the house with his horseshoes, and he fixed them for me, and he didn't wear a mask, that bastard.
Coach Orgeron, send us the break.
Well, you know, one time, go Tiger. We're going to play down here in Louisiana. No problem, Louisiana. No flu in Louisiana. Go Tigers.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Getting right to it, the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Friend of the show, our pal John Serenitas, Dr. Football. Hey, Dr. Football, do you like the mask with the elastics, or do you like to wrap them around your head?
Oh, the elastics. First of all, I haven't used one that you wrap around your head, for one. And two, I'd rather the elastics because I don't want to suffocate the hell out of myself.
Yeah, I haven't used one. I haven't used one without the elastics since I robbed a liquor store in the late 80s.
Hey, Doc, last week we were talking about the Mount Rushmores, a few of them, and again, it's that stupid sports cliche when things are slow. I've seen ESPN do it recently of the Mount Rushmores and all this stuff, and I wanted to ask you last week, and I didn't get to it. I'm curious, and I hope you can remember your Mount Rushmore of college football. I'm going to give you mine first, so I'll give you a little time to think. I'm going Reggie Bush. Again, to me, the greatest college football player I've ever seen play out of USC. The guy was absolutely filthy. I have to go with my man Deion Sanders because prime time, that's who I was. That's who I emulated in high school and college. I know people don't like his personality.
I can see the resemblance.
I was going to say, is prime time saying the same thing about Pep?
Oh, obviously. But the guy was one of the best.
I heard prime time used to break down curry tapes. Is that true?
Yeah, he did. He shut down half the field. He was the best in the business. I'm throwing in Brian Bosworth just because he was an absolute animal in college football. Yeah, he sucked in the pros, but Brian Bosworth at Oklahoma was unbelievable. And yet, you're all going to laugh at me with my fourth
Doug
Mount
Flute.
Rushmore. No, it's not Doug Flute. It's going to be Kellen Moore from Boise State, the dude who threw like 43 touchdown passes, set all sorts of records, and to me was pure entertainment. He's now the OC of the Dallas Cowboys, a brilliant quarterback mind. I loved Kellen Moore. He was so fun to watch. Those are my four, Doc. Who are your four?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I'd have to start with Doug Flutie just because I was younger.
All right.
But just seeing the success that he had at Boston College and how in many ways he put that program on the map. He made it a national program, obviously won the Heisman Trophy, remember the miracle in Miami. So I would say Doug Flutie, Tim Tebow, who I think you can make an argument could be the greatest college football player of all time.
Yep, okay.
He had a tremendous 3-year run at Florida, tremendous college career. This is going to surprise people a little bit, but I'm gonna put Joe Burrow on that list because he had arguably the greatest statistical season in college football history, and it's a season we may never see replicated again. I mean, he threw for 60 touchdown passes. I don't know if we're ever going to see that again. And then I would say a guy that to me is one of the best defensive players in college football history. He's the last defensive player to win a Heisman Trophy, and that's Charles Woodson. So
yeah, he was filthy.
You know, I'd have to think a little bit more if I wanted to alter it, and I know I don't go back too far, but I think when you look at the last 40 years of college football, I would say that's a pretty accurate Mount Rushmore when you think about the careers all four of those players.
How about Archie Griffin, double Heismans?
Tremendous, in the mid-70s at Ohio State, tremendous career. I mean, I would have no problem maybe putting him in instead of a Joe Burrow, but
Johnny Manziel.
College career.
Johnny Manziel could make some lists. And you mentioned Charles Woodson. How about Desmond Howard when he had that unbelievable season and he actually did the Heisman pose, which was to me one of the greatest things I've ever seen in the end zone when he scored the touchdown. Was flat out brilliant. Linehan, you have four guys?
Yeah, I just kind of yelled them out. Right?
Couple.
Flutie, Archie Griffin.
Okay.
I go Reggie Bush. I'm with you that way. Both Doc and I caught off guard. God forbid you give us a little prep on these things.
All right, it's all right. I want you to think, man.
Yeah. I think Johnny Manziel, he's got to be in the hunt, right, Doc?
Vince Young, does Vince Young smell the list?
Vince Young is another guy. Yeah. I would say Ricky Williams is another guy that can be in the conversation.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, he had a tremendous run at Texas as well. No pun intended with the run part. But, yeah, I mean, look, I think – see, the thing with the Mount Rushmore argument in any sport is it's four players.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I don't like about the Mount Rushmore argument is that you're limited to that. You know, you mentioned Vince Young, Pep. I mean, he's in the conversation.
I think so, he has to be.
And I think with a list like this, you almost have to say pre-1970, after 1970, that might be a more, you could probably be broader with your list because there's so many great players, it's hard to just pick four.
All right, well, you are Dr. Football, so we're going to get to the big leagues, if you will. It is May 14th. We've been in this pandemic for, it seems like, 700 years. This week's update on will there be NFL football this fall, where do you stand now?
I still think there will be. I mean, again, it's just going to come down to whether or not they're going to be playing in front of fans or not. But I still think that the NFL is going to do whatever they can to get off on time. If they can figure out a way to get to camp on time, get camp started on time, they'll play the preseason games. I would imagine that even if they start on time, I don't envision a scenario where they're playing preseason games in front of fans. But there is a chance that I still think they can play in front of fans at some point this fall. But I still think the league is going to do everything they can to get this thing started on time. I would be surprised if they push it back, unless this fabled second wave happens and they don't have a choice. But if that doesn't happen, I still think they start on time.
Dr. Fauci, how do you feel about that fabled second wave?
I think the third wave's coming afterwards, but make sure you wear a mask. In my day at Holy Cross, when the waves came, I was at the ocean.
I don't want to be Anthony Fauci these days.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? As long as you're wearing a mask when you're drinking your coffee. Hey, Doc, you've been around. I was a high school coach or whatever. I got a lot of friends that are college coaches. I talked to the UCLA, the head Bruin this week, about things that he's doing right now and, you know, with Zooms and, you know, meetings and try to get motivational stuff like that. What kind of things could you do with high school kids?
Well, it's, you know what, honestly, Mark, you can be just as creative in many ways as you can at the collegiate level. It's a lot of it ultimately comes down to how much are the kids willing to do. And
exactly. The
problem at the high school level is you've got remote learning now where they're cramming in five classes a day at home, and they're trying to balance that along with any other responsibilities they might have at home. And then on top of that, you're trying to ask them to prepare for your season. So it's tough, but if the kids are willing to invest the time and they're willing to be creative with the workouts, because the workouts are going to be unique, the kids can get something out of it. Luckily, where I help out over at King Philip Regional, we've had a great turnout with our morning workouts because the kids have bought in and they're creative. You know, they find different ways to use different things around their house as tools to work out. And so I think if you can get the buy-in, you can get them to do what you need them to do to prepare themselves to play football. Now, it's not going to be the same as being in the weight room and being together and the camaraderie piece and all that, but it's better than nothing, and this is a different type of camaraderie.
Yeah, the words buy-in, that's what I've got written on my paper right here. I'm with you 100%. I was talking to some college hockey coaches this week. They had a good point to me that said you find out maybe you have some kids that were leaders that you weren't sure that they were.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Now, all of a sudden, something like this happens, and you start to see some new faces emerge, and they start to take on a bigger role. Now, obviously, you hope that it translates when the season starts and they have to play and perform. But, yeah, you find out a lot about your kids, too. You know, the one thing we don't say enough about teenagers in today's society is that they're resilient. Kids are resilient, and in many ways, they're more resilient than adults. So, you know what, this is truly an opportunity for some kids that may have been flying under the radar to emerge and position themselves to maybe earn some more playing time.
We know how things work here in Massachusetts. We're in last place in any of those things, letting the things go. Are you concerned that there will not be any fall? Number one, school. Number two, athletics.
No. It's there's definite concern there. I mean, you're hearing different things that they might end up having the kids come in 2 days a week and put them in cohorts and they'll remote learn 3 days a week. And the MIAA, which is the governing body for high school sports in Massachusetts, has already had meetings where they're talking about the possibility of the fall season either getting pushed back or possibly even getting canceled. So it's too early for them to make a decision on that now, but I would not be surprised if it was pushed back and fall sports didn't start until the first day of school rather than having camp midway through August.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote explorer, only at progressive.com. Joining us on the Progressive guest line, it's Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan here, SB Nation Radio. We are the Diehards. Dr. Football John Serenitas, friend of the show from New England Football Journal and rotoplanner.com. Hey, Doc, you've had a week to sleep with schedules out. You know, again, there was a lot of excitement last week talking about all the schedules and all the different scenarios. Anything stand out now where, you've had a week to kind of look at all these schedules? Anything stand out? Anything particular that says, hey, you know what, this team may be screwed or this team's looking good?
Well, just the quirkiness of some of the schedules. Like, for example, the Dolphins and the Jets are going to play each other back-to-back over a three-week span. They're going to play each other, bye week, play each other. So I thought that was a little weird.
Okay.
The Patriots, I mean, I get it. It makes sense to have them play the Chargers and the Rams back-to-back since they're already out there and they're already going out there a couple of times. Thought that was interesting. And then you look at a team like Baltimore. They go 13-3 last year. And yet they have the easiest schedule in the league in terms of win percentage. So that there are definitely some things in this schedule that got my attention. And also I found it interesting that both the Patriots and the Buccaneers are each getting 5 primetime games. But I also thought it was interesting that a lot of their games don't overlap until the end of the season. So I'm wondering if that was on purpose to where the league wants Patriot fans to watch those Buccaneer games so they can help boost their ratings as well when they're playing primetime games. So,
absolutely.
Some things that were interesting to me.
It's fixed, absolutely.
Yeah, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, let's face it, Pat, and I know that, you know, you have been adamant about this, but they're in the Super Bowl conversation, aren't they?
No, they stink.
That's all you had to do there, Doc. I can put the mic off.
Come on. like we talked to Mike Giardi earlier, Vegas has them at 9.5 wins. They're going to win 8 or 9 games, and they're going to absolutely stink.
Wow.
Hey, I respectfully disagree. I'm sticking to my 9-7 Patriots season pick, and I'm sticking to my 10-6 Tampa Bay Buccaneers season pick.
All right, well, speaking of stinking, which teams are going to stink enough to tank for the Trevor sweepstakes? The dude from Clemson, obviously, a lot of people like this kid. People I've heard once in a generation, blah, blah, blah. What's your overall take? Are you buying into
He's
Trevor?
He's the 8th once
Lawrence?
In a generation quarterback this generation.
Well, here's the thing. Look, you know who's going to be in the mix for him. I mean, obviously Jacksonville's going to be in the mix for him. You could potentially have other teams that may not even need quarterbacks that are going to be picking around there that are going to not necessarily be in the mix for him, but are going to be certainly willing to be trade partners for teams that want to get up and try to draft him. But the first team that obviously jumps out at you is Jacksonville, given where they're at as a franchise right now in their quarterback situation. As far as him, the player, look, some people have said he's the best prospect since John Elway. Well, let's stop with that. First of all, there have been other prospects that have been just as highly touted as he's going to be going into next year's draft. Andrew Luck in 2012, Peyton Manning in 98. So Ryan Leaf in 98. There have been other prospects that have been just as highly touted. I would back off on the generational talent stuff. There's no question that the physical tools are there, the size is there, the athleticism in and out of the pocket. He's not a scrambler per se who can make plays with his legs, but he can extend plays, and he's got plus arm strength. I mean, he can make every throw in all 3 levels of the field. But again, let's pull the reins on the pony here. Let's easy with the generational talent stuff.
Yep.
He started in the national championship game. He's got a long way to go. This is going to be a big year for him in terms of his decision-making and his accuracy. Those are going to be areas he needs to improve in because, as you saw against LSU, if you pressure him, he does have a tendency to press and put the ball into places he shouldn't. So he still has some growing up to do and some development that needs to happen in order for him to be this generational talent and live up to the hype.
Ironically, so does Pep. A couple of minutes left here, Doc. Real quick question. Here's my favorite question of the night for you. You know more football and talent individuals than anybody I know. Which player comes back the fattest?
Yeah.
Which player comes back the fattest?
Ooh, out of shape. Other than
Linehan.
Eating yodels at the quarantine. Who's going to come in and be really like, wow?
Wow, that's a very good question. I mean, you have to think it's an offensive lineman, right? Or a defensive lineman. I mean, they're your prime candidates. You know, the one thing with players today is they're so in tune with their bodies and taking care of themselves. Not like the old days where you could peg 5 or 6 guys and say one of those guys is going to come back a tubby and they're going to look awful. But that's the thing. You know, a lot of people aren't talking about that. But how in shape are these guys?
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's not the same if the team strength coach is sitting in front of you versus being on your computer. It's completely exactly. different. So injuries and how in shape these guys are going to be two big things to look at as we get closer to training camps opening.
Hey, Doc, thank you so much. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Doc.
All righty, boys. Thank you. We'll talk to you next
week. Wear a mask.
There he is, Dr. Football, John Serenitas. Final segment coming up next. This is Diehards SB Nation Radio.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to eBay tomorrow and I'm buying a Blake Snell jersey.
Oh, yeah, really? Snelly?
Snelly from the Rays.
I might call Mary-Kate Olsen. I heard she just got divorced.
He says he wants to be paid in full like Eric B. and Rakim. I know you know that reference.
Yeah, absolutely.
The MLB season starts. He wants all his freaking money.
Up front, like me.
Like, yeah. Not, no, that's it.
Up front. But most importantly, wear a mask.
Like I said to you, too many variables, too much stuff.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Hey, Dr. Fauci, we appreciate you taking the time, by the way.
Well, I've been kind of busy. People asking me questions all the time. When I'm in my car, people honk the horn at me.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Fauci.
Wear a mask.
Andrew Carlson, great job as always running
Andrew,
Rock and Roll
wear
Control.
Wear a mask.
Tony Bruno coming up next. We'll talk to you next week.